Sharp Money, Mike Somich. I'm Patrick Maher, as we do on Sunday nights. And we got a big upset. Survivor Carnage, Unbeaten's no more in the NFL. Samo, road teams dominate in week five. A ton to get to as we roll out. Same formula every week. You're going to download the program on Monday morning. We'll get ahead of the numbers here, just like we did on Sunday night. We should probably start there, Mike Somich, and that is a 23-20 New England win, a statement win in division at Buffalo. We talked about Buffalo being gettable, but very important why we do sharp money when we do it. That number open 8.5. We both said that's nuts. It got bet all the way up to 10, and I think it closed 7, 7.5 by the time we kicked off tonight.
Yeah, we saw money come in early on the Bills, which surprised me, late on the Patriots, and the Patriots money was right. And honestly, man, you said one upset. It was just a weekend of upsets. We'll get through the Survivor Carnage as we get into this year, but hat tip to Drake May, man. He and Stephon Diggs were awesome tonight. Diggs came back, and there was a lot of questions of what to expect off the injury coming into this year, and he was awesome. There's no other way to put it in this game. 12 targets, 10 catches, 140-plus receiving yards. Drake May's play to start that drive where he was looked like he was going to be sacked. Instead, he's able to get it out to Diggs, who picks up some yardage to kick off that drive, was phenomenal. You got to give the Patriots credit here. I mean, the Bills kind of shot themselves in the foot. This was a sloppy game in the first half. The second half was explosive, was awesome, and just a huge win for this Patriots team, which puts them in serious playoff contention. I don't think they can win the division, but they can definitely make the playoffs after starting 3-2 here and getting a big road win against Buffalo.
Well, you lose the turnover battle and the penalty battle like the Bills did at home tonight. And this is why we talked about this team. A team potentially could have lost against the Saints, were very lackadaisical at home against your Dolphins. And tonight, this is a gettable team. This is a wide open year. And we'll talk about Philly coming up here in just a bit. But Buffalo, you're watching Buffalo. Does Buffalo scare you? They don't. 3 turnovers tonight. Allen with the pick, 11 penalties, 90 yards at home. Not good. And New England's just going to keep getting better.
Yeah, that's the key. Like, Drake May is going to progress throughout this season. He was impressive last year. We saw him improve as the season went along. Now he's just year two. He gets it. We always talk about that year two quarterback jump. We're seeing that year two quarterback jump with Drake May and his elusiveness, his ability to activate his legs when he needs to. Dare I say he looked like a young Josh Allen tonight. It's incredible because, no, he's not someone who's just going to take off and run for these big plays, but he's going to be able to keep plays alive and scramble when he needs to. And I thought this, like you said, was a statement win for the Patriots, and we talked about the Survivor Carnage. This was the 5th pick in Circa Survivor, 700 people on it, just 6% of the pool. But by the time we got to Sunday night, it represented close to 15% of the remaining pool because of all the losses that we saw earlier in the week. Survivor started the week at 12,404 people over at Circa. We're now sub 5,000, right around 4,700 left heading into week 6. So our first real carnage week as we saw upsets left, right, and center here in the NFL.
Yeah, the contest show with Somich and Brown every Saturday night, the final hour of Ready, Set, Bet on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This is Sharp Money. So, yeah, I mean, in May is, you got a quarterback, New England. I mean, you talked about on that last drive to set up the field goal, about to be tackled, somehow got the ball to Diggs. Is he as straight line fast as Allen? No, but he looks exactly like him, and he's got enough speed.
Yeah, the extension of plays is such a key in the NFL. It's not just being able to scramble and take off, but it's being able to create 2 or 3 seconds, because these wide receivers are so good that if you give them an additional 2 to 3 seconds, they're going to get open. Someone is going to break loose, or you're going to get a holding penalty in the secondary because of that extra time that you are creating on the back end. And that's what we saw all night from Drake May, is that when Buffalo was able to get pressure, he was able to buy a couple extra seconds, avoid sacks, and be able to push the ball downfield.
Yeah, emotional game. Yeah, this is something you can build off if you're a New England fan. And an easy landing spot, I use easy in parentheses because New Orleans is no longer winless. New England will head down to New Orleans. You may have to look at it. I'm looking at 3.5 right now. Now, there are threes. So if you like New England, you can find a 3 at DraftKings. Penny's at 3.5, a couple of shops 3.5, with New England laying it at the Saints.
Yeah, fascinating game here now, right? Because you see the Saints get a win, but you also have kind of a look-ahead spot here, or a sleepy spot, I should say, for the Patriots, just because it's one of those situations. You get this monster win on the road against a division rival on Sunday night. What are you able to do when you come back here? I will say there's a 2.5 out there somewhere for on New England. If you can find the 2.5, I wouldn't mind laying it with New England minus the 2.5 going to New Orleans.
I'll say I like the 2.5 with New England. I like the 3.5 with the Saints. Yeah, I don't think the Saints are a bad football team.
It's one of these key number games, right? And I had the Saints as my worst rated team heading into the season. Tennessee has taken that over. I'm not gonna, we'll talk about Tennessee, Arizona, because that game was freaking wild. I mean, just unbelievable, the current of events there that we saw. I'm not going to give that much credit to Tennessee, who was atrocious for 3.5 quarters of that game and caught one of the bigger breaks that you'll see in any NFL game. But this Saints team, they're frisky, man. They're like Rattler, he's not good, but he's not bad either. He's not turning the football over, and there are weapons out there. Like, you can't let Shaheed run deep. You do have Kamara in the backfield. Miller's running a little bit better as well, and you still have Olave. So there are pieces that can get the job done for this New Orleans team. Going to be interesting to see the Patriots try and go on the road back-to-back weeks and see if they can get a game they're supposed to win after pulling off a big upset.
Yeah, on October 5, Sunday night going into Monday, I will take the 3.5. The context, Saints are a bad football team. You know what I mean. In context, like we just saw the Bills lose to New England. This is a very much an up-down league, and the Saints are competitive, is what I would say. Buffalo is going to get an extra day because they go to Atlanta. Atlanta's going to have a rest advantage here coming off their bye, I believe. And Buffalo is 4.5, 5, and I'm actually seeing BetMGM up to 5.5 on Buffalo.
Yeah, the look ahead here was 5.5. So we've actually seen a little bit of movement toward Atlanta, which I don't disagree with. Now, do I want to run to the window at 5, 5.5? No, but I do think Atlanta is the right side in this game. The thing is, you can sit and see if you can get a 6. If there is enough Buffalo money to come in here, then you get a 6 with Atlanta at home. I like the 6 quite a bit. If it starts to trickle down, you've seen the 4.5s, then you take the 4.5 because 5, not a key number in the NFL. 6 is an important one if you can capture it. So I would take Atlanta plus 6. If it drops down to 4.5, I'll be taking some Atlanta plus 4.5 because I do think Atlanta's the right side. And you mentioned this top of the show. This is a gettable Buffalo team. They have not played to the level of expectation that I think the majority of people have had. The Dolphins game was sloppy. It was a C-minus effort. The game last week against the Saints was a C-minus effort. The game today was maybe their B-minus game. I want to see Buffalo's A game before I start laying a big number with them on the road.
Yeah, very gettable. The 5s are juice. If you see a 6, grab the 6 with Atlanta. I would agree there. That's Buffalo, Atlanta next Monday. Remember, we do have a doubleheader. Just as a note, the byes this week, Houston, we'll get to them. And Minnesota deserves a bye coming off some travel in Dublin and London. We don't play favorites here on Sharp Money. We run the board 461. Minnesota, I believe. You had Minnesota, one or two of your survivors. They do hold on against Cleveland, 21-17. Closed 3.5 with Minnesota laying it. They do cover.
Yeah, nice to get rewarded on my faith in this Minnesota team. And really, it wasn't the Minnesota team. It was the spot.
No.
And I don't think that this is something where if you're paying attention and you want to be betting NFL long term, this is now 3 years in a row we've had a team stay in Europe. The second week they have won and covered every single one of those games. It is just a terrible travel spot for one team to essentially be sitting there and be waiting and adjusting to the time and having a full week to prep versus a team that has to travel across an ocean and usually do it on Thursday night, Thursday, Friday, whatever it is. You're losing a day. You're losing a full day of prep unless you're having meetings on the plane. And let's be honest, what's the focus going to be like for those specific meetings? It is a huge disadvantage to have a team waiting for you in Europe who is used to the time zone versus a team that is coming over. We saw it now 3-0 in the last 3 years. If this happens again next year, it's another spot where you circle it and you say, I want to take the team that's waiting because they have an advantage. And that's despite, like, look, Dylan Gabriel, I thought he was okay. He wasn't terrible.
He was fine. He was fine.
Carson Wentz, look, it wasn't great, but that offensive line was consistently under duress. He was able to just do enough in this spot. The difference here was the travel. It's just plain.
Yeah, we talked about that on Thursday's Sharp Money.
It was the travel.
Late into it.
Had it not been for the travel, Cleveland wins this football game. But because of the situation and the fact you have a rookie quarterback with lack of time to prep and a team moving from one continent to another, Minnesota able to get the job done. I wouldn't upgrade Minnesota. I wouldn't downgrade Cleveland off this effort. I would just take this as a data point that is kind of a trash can data point, because the situational effect of it was what made the difference.
Yeah. Now, Cleveland, again, Minnesota's going to go on their bye here week six. Cleveland is going to come back home and they're going to go to Pittsburgh. That is tough. You're going to London. You're coming back in division, going to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh obviously coming off the bye. What an advantage. And you'll have to give me the look ahead, because right now we are mostly 4.5s. Penny is 5.5. Heritage is showing 6, but mostly everybody else is 4.5.
Yeah, this is interesting to me. The look ahead was 6. So Cleveland getting...
People love Cleveland in London.
Getting some love from that London performance. And maybe the argument is Dylan Gabriel was better than expected. Okay.
Yeah, he's good.
I mean,
fine.
I could see that. The total was, the look ahead was 38.5. The current number, 38. So moved a little bit, a shade down. You can get a 37.5 over at BetMGM. There's a 38.5 at FanDuel. But I don't know what to do with this Cleveland team off this effort. It looks like Judkins is a quality running back. He seems good. You still have a very good defense up front. I would lean toward the points here. If you can get a 6 with Cleveland, I would lean that direction. But this travel spot is brutal, so it's hard for me to really want to jump full throttle in on Cleveland here.
Yep, and we mentioned Minnesota going on the bye. 463, Miami. Just debilitating loss for Miami here. In Carolina, 27-24. Miami did close a point favorite. I'll let you run with this. McDaniels was despondent after the game, and he should be. A couple of bad football teams trying to hand it to one another.
Yeah, as a Dolphins fan, this one was pretty rough. I mean, Miami got absolutely blown away at the line of scrimmage. If you look at the running stats here, Rico Dowdle goes for 206 yes. yards on the ground.
Unreal.
This felt like Carolina could have won by 14. And Miami was kind of fortunate to be able to be in this game. Took advantage of some short field situations. Tua, another stat line that you're like, well, he was good. 27 for 36, 256 and 3 touchdowns. He was blah throughout this game. I don't think he was necessarily good, and the defense was straight up bad. This is a run defense that has just been gashed multiple weeks here. The bright spot, Darren Waller, he was very good, especially early in this game. Goes 5 for 78, gets a tutty as well. So, like, there are some bright spots in Miami, but that defense is still an absolute mess, and the offense just isn't good enough to make up for it. This isn't a team that you want to get in shootouts with right now with Miami, and that's just what we are seeing. Carolina, another bad team that can beat other bad teams. They can stay in games, and this defense has been improved. I was against them stopping the run. They very much
better
stopped the run. 10 carries for 16 yards for Achane. That is a brutal, brutal number for this Dolphins team. You can't put it all on Tua.
And these are two teams. I believe Miami was up 17 at one point in this game. Just wild swings. And Carolina has been involved outside of the 30-0 drubbing of Atlanta. Think about in Arizona today, just wild swings. And obviously, Miami, just not a very good football team. Speaking of Miami, Miami's going to be hosting the Chargers. And we'll get to the Chargers. And we talked extensively on Thursday and then our Friday program on Mad Dog Sports Radio, where Samich joins, about the Chargers, who I'll save. 5.5, 4.5 at Miami feels like it's priced correctly.
Yeah, the look ahead was 5.5, so not too much movement here. This is a Chargers team where it's so hard to rate them, because last week we saw the offensive line injuries in game against the Giants. They come in this week, they lose Mekhi Becton, who was filling in for Joe Alt, who was filling in for Stanley.
Unreal.
Left tackle. Their right tackle left the game at one point. Their second string right guard left the game at one point. So this is a Chargers team that was up 10-0, looked in complete control. And then you had just a ridiculous turn of events. A turnover gives the Commanders a field goal. Then they return a punt for a touchdown to go up 17-3, but they rough the punter in the end zone. That creates a first down. All of a sudden, instead of a 17-3 game, we have 10-10, and there's no offensive line to speak of for the Chargers. I need an update on the injuries, before I can handicap this game. Because if this Chargers offensive line is hanging out with their fourth string at left tackle and their third string at right tackle and their second string at right guard, it is impossible to back them laying this number of points. And I get it, the Dolphins stink. But at the same time, the Chargers have to fly across the country and go and take on Miami, where they'll be baking in the heat. You know, the sideline will be in the sun for the Chargers and not for the Dolphins, and this offensive line's a mess. It's just one of those spots where, can they take advantage of Miami's weak run defense? I'm not sure, because of how banged up they are on the offensive side. I'd take it with the Dolphins if you told me to pick a side right now, because I want the points against that beat up offensive line.
Yeah, and I'll save it for the Chargers and Commanders, but the Chargers defense all of a sudden doesn't look exactly like what we thought coming out those first few weeks, but we'll get to that. Carolina is going to be hosting Dallas. It's 3.5. I can't believe I'm saying this. Yes, please, on Dallas in the 3.5. I mean, I prefer a 3, but Dallas is a better football team here.
Yeah, look ahead was 3.5, so that was never really available. There is a 4.5 in the market at one place. The rest of the market painted at 3.5 here. Over, Patrick? Can I interest you?
Oh,
over?
Boy. Yeah, like, yeah.
This Carolina team, they're starting to be able to move the football. Bryce Young wasn't bad against Miami. We saw them have success on the ground game. It's a Cowboys team that can't stop the run. So you may want to look back at Dowdle props for next week off his 200-yard game. Now, the books may adjust drastically, so we'll wait to see what the number is there. But, yeah, to me, this is a look to the over here, because I don't see either of these teams necessarily stopping anyone. And I do believe Dallas can move the football against anybody. There are 48.5 painted in the market here.
Over.
I would love a 48. I don't know if we'll ever get it. So I'll put a little bit here on the 48.5 and see if I get the 48. It was 47.5 look ahead. I would have loved to have that 47.5, Patrick.
Well, it's perfect. 465 is next. Dallas at the Jets. So it's hard to judge Dallas because they're playing the Jets, who are 0-5, and you've seen the stat at this point. No takeaways through 5 weeks, which is improbable. Dallas, Dak, 4 touchdown passes. I think they had 2 touchdown drives of 90-plus yards. Just complete domination here. Dallas on the road. I believe the Jets closed a short favorite, and Dallas whopped them, 37-22.
Yeah, the Sharps love the Jets again this week. Third straight weeks that everybody wanted to bet on the Jets. The Cowboys opened -2.5. The Jets closed -1, and despite 113 yards on the ground from Breece Hall, we talked about him over rushing, this Jets team just could not do anything. They scored 6 points in the first 3 quarters, Patrick. They scored 16 in the fourth. So even a little faulty final here where the Cowboys were just blowing them out, and you got some Jets points late in the game. Cowboys outgained them 416 to 378. There was a 150-yard gap going into the fourth quarter, so a lot of that yardage came late for the Jets here. Big turnover by Breece Hall early in this game that really allowed Dallas to extend the lead. This Dallas team is just one of those where, look, they're going to score points. They're going to give up points, so just they're a dead over team until further notice. We have to keep an eye on CeeDee Lamb as well. If he comes back, this number at 3.5 is going to go to 4.5, 5. So I don't mind the idea of taking Dallas now.
That's a good point. We talked about Dallas going to Carolina, 3.5. Mike saw a 4.5. Good point about Lamb. I don't think he plays this week. Don't think they may not need him. And then the Jets. Okay, so the Jets are going to be, Mike, week 6, hosting Denver in London. And Denver is laying 7. DraftKings is showing a 7.5 on Denver.
Yeah, this is an interesting one, right? So Denver played Philadelphia this week. I think that's a little bit of an advantage for Denver. And why do I say that? Well, Denver is going to fly immediately out.
You have to.
So they're not going to fly back to Denver and then fly all the way to Europe. They're going to be out there for a day or two before the Jets. And it's one of those situations where I actually think it's a sneaky good spot, because they had to play on the road. Now, the Jets were in New York, but the Jets are going to chill there. They're going to wait until Thursday or Friday to fly out. I think that gives the Broncos a pretty decent advantage here. The look ahead was 6.5, the total sitting at 42.5. The reopen here, the total at 44, so actually went up a little bit. And the number 7, 7.5. I lean toward Denver here. I think that their defense can be able to get the job done. And I don't trust this. Like, look, this isn't a good Jets defense. I mean, this was a banged up Cowboys team today, and they were able to consistently move the football. Their wide receiver weapons, yeah, you got Pickens out there, but what was it, like Florian Floridescu or whatever the heck his name was, ended up being your wide receiver one for the Cowboys, and they're able to move the football. So yeah, Broncos are passed from here, and I would get a piece of the 7 before it goes to 7.5.
Yeah, DraftKings is showing a 44.5. I'll go under that number. I'm starting to really believe. Obviously, it was a very good defense last year. Took a little bit to get going. Denver, some big-time late plays by that defense against Philly, which we'll talk about here in just a little bit. We were on Dallas and the Jets. We jumped the 467 here on Sharp Money. Vegas at Indy. This was all Indy. Indy's legitimate. Now, Las Vegas isn't very good, but they did close 7.5, easily cover here. It was never a question. The Colts 40, the Raiders 6.
Yeah, Geno Smith, man.
Yikes. Another two picks.
Another two picks. Ashton Jeanty was your leading rusher with 67 yards. At one point, he was their leading receiver as well. Trey Tucker gets some late yards to be able to make him the leading receiver. That's not a good sign. Brock Bowers missed this game. You saw how much he matters to this offense. He's incredibly important to them being able to move the football. I'm salty. I had the over 47.5. I don't know what we're doing, Pete Carroll, kicking a field goal down 40-3.
I saw that. Like, yeah.
The ultimate give up. Like, well, you know, let's get some momentum, build it up for next week. The Raiders actually jumped out to a 3-0 lead here and then gave up 40 straight to a offense for the Colts that just was humming. Again, I mean, Jonathan Taylor gets in the end zone 3 times but wasn't overly efficient on the ground. The full bench of A.D. Mitchell was interesting until garbage time after he dropped the ball before the goal line. Don't worry, we'll talk about one of those this week.
Yes, sir.
But look, I stand by the opinion on the Colts here. Elite offense, mediocre defense. I still see them as a team that I want to lean toward the overs, Patrick.
Yeah, but the offense we can start to legitimize because Jones has not faulted yet. The efficiency is still there. He's completed 70% of his passes today. He didn't throw a pick. The offense is legitimate. I think that we should start. We do recognize that, and they've got Arizona coming. I'm talking about the Colts. Here comes Arizona. I saw some Murray post-game comments that did not sit well. He's an odd cat anyway. He can be sullen even when he's in a good mood. I really like the Colts, and you can find – there's a book showing 4. Most are showing 5, 5.5. I'll take it. I'll lay it with the Colts here.
Opener here – or look ahead here was 3.5 on Indianapolis. Now we're out to 5.5 painted most places. If you can find a 4.5, I would go ahead and jump on that because there is
not – it might not be adjusted yet. Circa is showing 5.
Not many in the market. Let's wait until we talk about Arizona to talk about this game because I think the mental state of Arizona – is a big part of this handicap.
And that's exactly what I'm thinking, too. Let's take a look at the Raiders, Samo, before we move on. They are hosting Tennessee. Set a number, because Tennessee did pick up a W today, which we'll get to with the Arizona aforementioned. What was the look ahead here? Because Vegas is 6, 6.5 right now, hosting the Titans.
Yeah, Raiders -6.5, total 41 was the look ahead here. I don't really know what you do.
Honestly, if anything, I'd take the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, the 6.5 is tempting. I would like a 7. I would sit around and see if a 7 ever pops here. The under would be another lean if it gets to 42. If we do see one of those in the market, 41 and 42, both key numbers from an NFL perspective. There's 41.5. There's a little juice to the over in a couple places. I don't like either of these offenses as constructed. Brock Bowers obviously very important. If he's not in for Las Vegas, that leans it even more toward Tennessee. But again, I want the 7. After watching, I'm in Survivor. I was rooting against the Cardinals all game. That Tennessee team was wildly frustrating, and the coaching decisions inside that game by the Tennessee head coach were freaking brutal as well. It is hard for me to back this Titans unless it's a number that I cannot pass up.
Yeah, Callahan looked surprised in his post-game speech that he had won a football game, and so are we.
Not just you, buddy.
So are we. 469 is Denver at Philly, so a tale of two halves here. And Philly is so mercurial, to use a weird word, but kind of up and down this year, and they really show you almost like Jekyll and Hyde with their offense where, I mean, the last 5 drives of the game, they could do nothing. Absolutely nothing against this Denver defense. It's a good defense. Philly did close 4, And it's an outright winner on the road for Denver, 21-17.
Yeah, really funky game.
Super funky.
I mean, 17-3 going into the fourth quarter. And Denver outscores them 18-0 in the fourth quarter. You mentioned the tale of two halves. Denver looked lethargic on offense in that first half. They come out and they're able to consistently move the ball once they actually have to. Like, it's interesting to me because if I was an offensive coordinator, Patrick, I would run hurry up once or twice in the first half just to try and
How
get
dare
the
you.
Juices flowing for my team, because when there's a team that's just flat, you want to get them in a situation where it's something you do every single week. And every single week in practice, you take specific time sets of that practice to be able to just run your two-minute drill. It's why we see offenses really click when there's that urgency to go ahead and do it. I'm surprised that Denver waited so long to try and really make something happen here on the offensive side. Bo Nix, not great in the first half. He got better as the game went along. How about Sean Payton? And this isn't going to be talked about that much because we got the 21-17 final. Down 17-3, score a touchdown, kick the extra point, down 17-10. They score a touchdown again, make it 17-16. He goes for two.
Goes for two.
To try and step on the throat and force that Philly offense to go and score. He gets the two-point conversion. I loved it, by the way, because this was a Philly offense that struggled. If you don't pick up the two-point conversion there, Philly's going to keep playing very, very soft on offense. They're not going to be as aggressive as you because they have the lead, and then you just need a field goal to win the other way. If you get the two-point conversion, you completely flip the way they need to play offense. They get the ball back, kick a field goal, go up four. Philly can't drive down and win. I thought it was a great idea to go for two there. I wished more teams did that. Look, this is a really good Denver defense. This is a mess of a
really good
Eagles team. Like, this feels like that Eagles team 2 years ago. I can't wait to see what AJ Brown has to say after this one. I mean, he was already sending the cryptic tweets. Here he goes 5 for 43 off 8 targets. By the way, guess what, Patrick? They targeted him on a wide receiver screen on the first drive. Cash the first drive reception for A.J. Brown because the squeaky wheel, man, they're going to feed him. They don't want this to be a story. I think it's going to be one going into next year. Upgrade the Broncos and this Philadelphia team. They're lucky they're in the division they are. We'll just put it that way.
Yeah, how troubling for Philly. They were 2 of 11 on third downs. Denver ran 70 plays. They ran 55. But here's the thing. 6 sacks allowed by Philly, which is supposed to be obviously tremendous offensive front. Here's where it gets really concerning. Almost like what's the formula? They ran the ball 11 times.
Yep.
Saquon had 6 carries.
What are we doing?
On no planet coming into the year would we have said a healthy Saquon will carry the ball 6 times. You'd lay whatever it was on the over, and he ran the ball 6 times today.
And they were
when they were up 14.
Exactly. The game state was feed Saquon. They didn't do it. He had 9
Why?
Touches. 9 touches today, Patrick. Like, what are we doing?
It feels like a team that's trying to make people happy, and then all of a sudden it starts to get into this, what are we calling based on, are we trying to win a football game, or are we trying to appease?
And like, people are like, well, he must have struck. No, he was averaging 5 yards a carry. 5 yards a carry on his 6. Like, if you just give him the ball twice, it's a first down based off that average. Yet the Eagles just did not run the football. And yeah, okay, Denver's got a good defense. I get it. They also have a really good secondary. Like, try and at least attack this running game, especially up 14 points. This was the game state that the Eagles dominated when they were very good. It is very disconcerting to see them struggle up 14 in the second half and not being able to establish the run.
We talked about Denver going from Philly to London. They're going to be taking on the Jets 7.5 there. We discussed it. The Philadelphia Eagles, a quick turnaround. They're going to head to Jersey to take on the Giants coming up this Thursday, and they are laying 7.5 points, and you've got a 42.5 on the total.
I wish I knew what the strategy was going to be for the Eagles here. This is a Giants team that can't stop the run.
No, they cannot.
You should just pound Saquon Barkley in this.
Saquon props.
I would think that after seeing this game, like, okay, if you're an Eagles coach and you look at this box score, you're like, what the bleep are we doing?
They're going to try to overcompensate,
right?
Like, for what we exactly.
And it's also Barkley against his old team back in New York. And I realize they played last year twice. They're in division. I get all that. But it still matters that Barkley is going back to New York here. Yeah, Saquon props. I think that's a good look here. I would lay it with the Eagles. I think that you're going to see Jackson Dart struggle in this spot. And I think that you're going to see an Eagles team that can run the football. So good teaser game here. And Eagles are pass and definitely going to be having some Barkley props.
Well, speaking of Jackson Dart, 471, the Giants were at New Orleans. So why we do the show when we do it, we opened up last Sunday night with the Giants favored on the road. They closed dogs 2.5. It was actually quite a flip from 1.5-2 down to 2.5 the other way. New Orleans, a 26-14 winner. We loved New Orleans on the program. And Jackson Dart, whether it was picks or just dropping the football, fumbles all over the place. The Giants are not a good football team. Don't let the Charger win kind of mask what this team is.
Look, if Dart throws the ball 40 times, the Giants are losing. It's that simple. Like, the recipe for the Giants to have success is you run the football with Scataboo, you run the football with Dart, you grind up clock, and you let your defensive line pin their ears back once you have a lead and create havoc in the backfield of the other team. Giants never could do that. They did have a lead early in this game, but they just got snake bitten by the big plays here. I mean, you have a 5 first down advantage over the Saints, but there's only a 3 yard advantage for the Giants based off of that. A big play to Rashid Shaheed, who was able to get going. And we really saw the lack of weapons on the outside for the Giants here. Daniel Bellinger, the tight end, ends up your leading receiver, 4 for 52. Your second leading receiver was Scam Katabu, 6 for 45. Your third leading receiver was your backup tight end, Theo Johnson, who goes 6 for 33. Darius Slayton, your number one wide receiver in yards with 31. There just aren't weapons on the outside for this Giants team without Malik Nabers. They need to establish the run if they're going to be able to win games and keep them close. So Jackson Dart rush props for me. That's about it on the Giants moving forward.
Yeah, we talked about the Nabers loss. You could tell as far as a game plan, they just never had that next play. They felt like they were missing something. And if you're missing one of the better wide receivers in football, that's why coming out of the Charger game, you could almost feel like the air being let out of the balloon, and they lose in New Orleans today. The Giants, we mentioned, are going to be hosting Philly. We've gone through that. The Saints are going to be hosting New England. We've gone through that. Let's jump to 473 Houston. At Baltimore today, Houston did close 2.5. The number was going the right way because Houston pummeled the Baltimore Ravens 44-10. Houston goes on their bye. We'll get to the Ravens. Now, again, you have to preface it with the obligatory. The Ravens are missing every single football player that's on their roster.
Yeah, I mean, that's one way to look at it. You're not wrong. 5 rookies started on defense for the Ravens. 5. Most teams don't have 5 defensive rookies, period, let alone 5 defensive rookies starting for them. And, man, it showed. I mean, I talked about the defensive line rep for the Texans that was the worst in history. Didn't matter against this team. I took the under. I was wrong. The Texans go over by themselves, put up a 44 spot in this game. Everything they wanted to do on offense worked. My main takeaway is do not upgrade the Texans too much. Like, don't look at this and be like, well, they were 2-point favorites and they won by 34. Better move the Texans up. No, this was a perfect scenario. If anything, it's just downgrade this defense. We'll have to keep an eye on whether or not we get Stanley back next week for the Ravens, whether or not Hamilton comes back next week for the Ravens. But if they don't get some reinforcements, they're going to get shellacked by the Rams.
The Baltimore Ravens very much looked like a team today that did not expect to win a football game. That's exactly what they looked like, and Houston had their way.
Interesting, too, you had Derrick Henry, Mitchell, and Justice Hill get the only carries for them. We talked about this where Hundley was the backup in previous years. He could come in and do a fake Lamar Jackson, a Lamar Jackson light.
Just
run with the football. Cooper Rush isn't that dude. And that completely changes your offense as well. So not having Lamar Jackson is a bigger drop-off this year, even though I could argue Cooper Rush is a better backup than Huntley because he doesn't fit in this system as well as Huntley does. It's the same thing we talked about with Mariota. You look forward to next week with this Ravens team, and it's going to be a tough game for them, taking on the Rams, who are going to be salty coming off that Thursday night loss. So we'll see what they can do from a health perspective, but that's going to be a big storyline this week, is how many of the, I believe it was 9 missing starters, they're going to be able to get back on both sides of the ball. Total for the look ahead here, 45, 45 and a half. There is a 46 and a half in the market. So if you like the under there, go ahead to DraftKings. You can get that. From a side perspective, this game is sitting at 7.5 with the Rams.
What was the look?
On the road at Baltimore. Look was off the board, which made sense. No one wanted to put this one up look ahead because no one knew who was or wasn't going to play. The assumption is Lamar Jackson's out next week.
Yes.
Stanley, I think people expect to play. Hamilton, I think people expect to play because they were both questionable, although neither practiced Thursday or Friday heading into this week. So going to be another week where you're looking at the injury report. I mean, on Friday, Ravens Twitter was abuzz with positive thoughts because 2 players were listed as questionable and they thought they would be out. Like, that's how bad we've gotten here. You've got a laundry list of outs, but the questionables make you excited.
I think we could agree that this is TBD. We'll talk about Rams-Ravens on Thursday, Sharp Money, because we know nothing right now about the Ravens.
I don't hate the idea of teasing it now. If you do
bringing Rams down.
If you do want to bring the Rams down and tease it, I don't even, let's say you get Hamilton back on the defensive side. The Rams are going to go ham on offense. Like, they are going to be able to put some points up against this Ravens team, and you've got a really good pass rush with the Rams as well. So a situation much like this Houston game where if the Rams get a lead, good luck Baltimore with Cooper Rush. And Lamar Jackson is expected to not play this week.
And of course, Rams extra rest, pissed off, headed to Baltimore, take advantage, business trip. Let's go. Next, we've got 475. Here we go. Tennessee at Arizona. Oh, boy. Arizona close. I don't know where to go. Arizona closed 7.5, and they were definitely going to cover that number until I'm not even sure what happened. But the Tennessee Titans won 22-21. Let me just be very clear. It was a 19-point game in the fourth, and what's my man's name, the running back?
Amiri DeMarcado.
DeMarcado has a 74-yard touchdown run that was a 72.5-yard touchdown run because he dropped the effing ball at the goal line. It didn't count. That's in the fourth with 12:25 to play.
Okay, if I was an NFL coach, I would have had the 80 Mitchell rep from last week in every one of my meeting rooms. We're going to watch this guy drop the ball. Don't do that. Just don't do that, right? And he did that. Just a crazy game. Look, it was 21-6 at half, and the Cardinals came out, and they scored on both of their drives. I was on Ready, Set, Bet when we were talking about this. Just a cleanup for the Survivor people out there. The Rams were the number one pick. 28.3% of the Circus Survivor pool were on the Rams. They go down on Thursday night. That eliminates 3,524 people. That makes the Cardinals the number one pick on Sunday with 3,152 people, which was effectively 40% of the remaining Survivor pool. So 40% of the Survivor pool was on the Cardinals here. And Matt and I, both of us, neither had a Cardinals ticket. We used them in week one or week two. So we're sitting there hoping we can root against the Cardinals. It's 14-3 before you blink. It looks like the Cardinals are going to absolutely roll. And then they went full Cardinals in this game. I mean, Kyler Murray running backward, flips the ball behind his back to throw the ball away, gets an intentional grounding at the 3-yard line. You see some just boneheaded play calls. All of a sudden, they're taking sacks. They had 3 straight drives where they lost yardage after going up 21-3. You had a 1-yard drive for a field goal for the Tennessee Titans teams set them up. They couldn't do anything. Tennessee just kept giving up chances to try and get in this ball game, and then all of a sudden that was the key where DeMarcado was going in the end zone. He drops
it. game's over
if he walks it in there. That would have been in the fourth quarter. That would have made this game 28-6. He drops it, and somehow the Titans go down the field 80 yards in 6 plays, cut this lead down. The Cardinals go 3 plays for 1 yard in a minute and punt the ball back. And one of then the crazier plays we've seen, where the Titans throw a pick, then the guy fumbles it, and they kick it into their own end zone, and it's recovered by the Titans. But inside of all this, then the Titans kick a field goal. They win the game. You all know that. The fact that the Titans didn't go for 2 was a fireable offense on the first touchdown. You're down 15 points. You should 100% of the time go for two because you're down 9. If you go for 2 and you make it, you're down 7. Great. We know we need a touchdown, an extra point. If you go for 2 and you miss it, okay, cool. We're down 9. We know it's a 2-possession game. If you kick the extra point, you don't know if you're going to get the 2-point conversion. Therefore, you don't know if you need the ball once or twice. They instead elect for the extra point, which, because they're the Titans, they miss. And they get lucky as heck in this game. Like, I could not believe everything that Arizona did to blow this game. It ends in a walk-off field goal. Congratulations, Tennessee Titans. How does Arizona respond?
That's right before Sharp Money. I was watching a post-game presser with Murray. You mentioned how bad the play calling is. Guess what? He agrees. So when you have a quarterback, that's all of a sudden. I wouldn't call it mutinous, but Arizona gonna Arizona. And again, they're at Indy. It's 5.5, and I do like Indy laying it.
Yeah, I think you lay it with Indy here. I like the over again. In an Indy game, to me, these are still overs. The game today should have gone over. The Raiders should have scored more than 6 points in that mess of a game. This is one of those spots where I'll take the over here. It was 47.5 on the look ahead. The Colts were laying 3.5. We reopened here with the Colts sitting at 5.5. I would still lay it here. The look ahead on the total now, or the sitting total now, is sitting at 47.5. You can get a 46.5 at FanDuel. Take the over 46.5. I think you're going to see points. I think it's a lot of Indy here. I like this Colts team, Patrick. I think this is an elite offense, and I think this Cardinals team is just what's the right way to say that?
Exactly. No, you nailed it.
They're a joke. they're not a real professional football team. It's a bunch of dudes who don't really care. And I feel bad for saying that, but Kyler Murray is your leader, and he clearly doesn't really care. He is so lackadaisical. I can't believe it.
And both lead backs are out, which led to our guy dropping it at the goal line today. Your consternation says it perfectly. Let's get to a game and two teams that are good. 477. I think the Bucs and Seahawks are going to be heard from. And this was crazy. Obviously, the storyline here is Baker and Darnold battling. Both were awesome. Don't look at Darnold's pick late. It went off a helmet. But Tampa Bay, with the injuries, traveling as far as you can travel, a 38-35 winner covering the 3.5.
This was theater, man.
It was a great game.
Watched a terrible morning slate. Really, it was just the Broncos game, which only got interesting late against the Eagles. A terrible afternoon slate until we got that ridiculous comeback from the Titans. This game was theater, just back and forth. It was 13-0 late in the second quarter for the Bucs lead. The Seahawks able to get a touchdown at the end of half, able to come out, score a touchdown to start the half. All of a sudden, it's 14-13. Executed wonderfully on that middle 4 minutes that everyone talks about, in and out of those, the first half into the second half. And then it was just offense back and forth. And really, it was two Ohio State receivers. Jaxon Smith-Njigba is a legit number one. No question. He is top five right now in the NFL.
He's great.
Cooper Kupp's the other dude. Like, there is nobody else over there. And Emeka Ebuka was awesome in this game, 7-for-163 and a tutty as well on 7 targets. I mean, that's the thing. The Jaxon Smith-Njigba, 8 receptions on 9 targets. Ebuka, 7-on-7 targets. They were both awesome. Baker and Darnold were both awesome. I don't blame the defenses for not being able to stop this. This was high-quality executing offenses. This was not the defenses missing, breaking plays. This was good offense. And as you said, it's a shame that Darnold had to throw that pick, because he played super in this football game right up until that moment. And it went off a helmet. It happens. Someone had to lose, but this was a very entertaining football game. These are two very good teams. Seattle has to be kicking themselves. They could be 5-0 right now, and Tampa has to be loving life because they have now won 4 games in the final minute.
We do the show on Sunday night for one reason, and that is, what do we take from these teams? Upgrade Seattle, upgrade Tampa. In a loss, you can still feel good about yourself. You hate the loss if you're Seattle, but great game. I think those are two pretty good football teams. And speaking of which, Tampa has San Francisco coming. So San Francisco will have the extra rest coming off the Thursday win with Mac Jones there, and it's 2.5-3 with Tampa Lane at hosting the 49ers.
Yeah, this was the look ahead on Wednesday. Played Tampa -1.5 in this game because of the injuries on the San Francisco side and the fact that every week Tampa should get better now. Right, we've gotten over that offensive hump where you like Wirfs is back, you've got Godwin back. They're going to get better as we go week to week here. Evans may play in this game. That obviously upgrades them. Now, the loss of Bucky Irving is a big loss for them, but this is a San Francisco team that can't rush the passer. This is a San Francisco team that's got to travel across the country, play in the heat in Tampa. I like the Bucks here. Go get your 2.5 before everything's 3.
That's where I'm at. 2.5, you got the best of it at the 1.5, but I will lay the 2.5 with the Bucks. Though, to be fair, probably will be 60% 49ers fans down in Tampa. They do travel. And then Seattle, Samich, is going to be at Jacksonville. I'm curious about the look ahead because right now it's Jacksonville point and a half.
Yeah, this was one of those that did not change much. Jacksonville was a 1.5 favorite on the look ahead, total sitting at 44.5. When you go into today's the lines that are available now, you can get 1.5, so a little bit towards Seattle, and the total sitting now at 44.5 as well, so no real adjustment there. This is one of those spots where I like Seattle, but the travel is tough. If you like Seattle and you want to tease them, I think you do it now, because Kansas City could expose Jacksonville tomorrow night. And this could you could flip favorites pretty easily here. So my initial reaction here is use Seattle as a teaser leg up to 7.5, and then see what happens tomorrow night with Jacksonville, because we always talk about this. I'd rather bet a team that has already played and let the Monday night happen, because you never know who's going to get hurt on Monday night. Not rooting for any injuries, but let's say Trevor Lawrence gets hurt tomorrow. What's this number? Right. Let's say that you know, you've got a big defensive injury for Jacksonville. What's this number? It can only go in one direction from an injury perspective. So I would tease Seattle up right now before this favorite flips in case anything happens against Kansas City.
Yeah, I'll take Seattle plus the 1.5 right now. Think about it this way. Jacksonville is about to tomorrow night, or as you're downloading Sharp Money tonight, play their biggest game in years. The record looks good. They've had a million takeaways. They've got a new head coach, and here comes Kansas City, a dynasty. This is Monday night. You're the only team on. You're Jacksonville. There's going to be a lot of emotion tomorrow for Jacksonville. Shorter. Here comes Seattle, a tough defensive team. I'll take Seattle. Okay, let's take a look. 479, Detroit at Cincinnati. So Detroit closed 9 easily. Don't easily. There was a backdoor opportunity here, but a 37-24 winner. Let me just give you my thoughts. You know, I watched every snap. Detroit scored 37 and left plenty of points on the field. Okay, we'll start there. And then I'll say this about Jake Browning. Not sure specifically in the first half I've ever seen a quarterback perform worse and have less of a clue what he's doing. They have a major situation at quarterback. That's not breaking news with Jake Browning and, of course, the Bengals.
Yeah, this was the worst beat I can remember in a while. Remember our team total under 21.5 on the Bengals?
They had 3 points. And we loved it.
3 points we going into the fourth quarter.
Yes.
And they
put
up 21 in the fourth quarter. Are you freaking kidding me? How did the team total under 21.5 lose with Cincinnati? That one stunk. So did Jake Browning for the majority of this football game.
Terrible.
It was you lost track of how many interceptions he threw because he was throwing so many interceptions. It was 3. All of them happened in the first 3 quarters before you lead these drives. The numbers look completely different. I mean, Chase ends up with 110 and 2 touchdowns. He's like, oh, I bet he had a pretty good game. T. Higgins gets the end zone. I bet he had a pretty good game. No. The Detroit dominated this game. They are a top 3 football team in the NFL.
Absolutely.
They are also, like, we're talking about Buffalo. And Buffalo struggling to play their A game in games where they just need to play their A game and they win. Detroit doesn't struggle to play their A game. That's the one thing I think you can say it's a real positive with Dan Campbell. He's able to get these teams up emotionally every single week to show up with max effort. You don't see them sleepwalking through Cleveland last week. You don't see them sleepwalking through Cincinnati this week. You see their best performance. I think that's as big of a compliment as you can give to some NFL head coaches because of how much we see some of these good teams struggle with bad football teams.
I'm gonna say something that Mike knows is not common for me. I think Detroit is the best team in football, and I'm a Detroit Lions fan, and I usually sandbag. I think they can play their B-plus game and beat you, pretty much anyone. So Detroit goes to Kansas City next Sunday night. again, same conversation about Jacksonville. Let's wait for Kansas City to come out of this. But Kansas City right now, I believe the look ahead, 1.5.
The look ahead on the Chiefs, yeah, Lions are the Chiefs are 1.5 point favorites at home. 48.5 was the total last week. If we look at this week, it's back to 1.5 on the side. Total sitting right around the same place. It's Lions or pass.
Yeah.
This is another one where I don't mind teasing it. Where I like take the 1.5, take it up to 7.5 right now, and move along. I think this is going to be a good football game. The Lions are going to show up. You know the Lions are going to show up. And this Chiefs team now, short rest, off a road game.
Yep.
To me, it's a much better spot for Detroit, despite being back-to-back road games for them. So it's Lions or pass for me, but I like it as a teaser leg right now at that 1.5 number.
Yeah, the 1.5 is a gift. I'll take Detroit in Kansas City on Sunday night. Based on what I just said, I think they are the best team in football. Cincinnati's headed to Green Bay, Samich's second hometown. And this number, look ahead, it's 14.5 up to 15. It's mostly 14.5 with Green Bay laying it with the Bengals coming.
Can I just say one thing, Patrick?
Of course.
Baltimore was laying 2.5 in Kansas City last week. Detroit is catching.
It's catching 1.5
in Kansas City.
Right.
Just saying.
That's out of principle. I just looked. I said, oh, they're catching? Okay, I'll take
just
the Lions.
Just throwing it out there. We're saying there's a 4-point difference between the Ravens team 2 weeks ago and the
that's
current
a good
Lions
point.
Team. Just saying. That's probably wrong. This was 13.5 on the look ahead as the Packers favored over the Bengals. We reopened it at 14.5, some 15s in the market. Yeah, because, look, Browning stinks. And this Packers team is coming off the bye, and they should be very motivated to win this game. If you have the Packers in Survivor, it's probably your Survivor play.
You're feeling really good.
Going to be a
You're
lot feeling... of Packers plays in Survivor this week, and I don't disagree with any of them. So we'll see what happens. But I too big of a number for me to want to lay. If you can find a 13.5 in the market, I'm interested, but I don't see any on the board. So tough for me to bet this one as is.
Too many games, too many sides, too many totals and props to be messing with a 14.5 point spread. We got one more, then we'll get to Monday night and get the hell out of here. Washington at the Chargers, 41. Washington, you know, Daniels back makes such a difference, even just the feel of the offense, even though Mariota's tremendous as a backup. 27-10, a winner for Washington. Chargers closed 3.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this one. It really flipped on the roughing the punter, which made this a game that was going to be 17-3. Instead, Washington gets the ball back, goes 10-10 at half, and then you just have the cluster injuries for the Chargers at offensive line. It's happened in game now 2 weeks in a row. It's almost impossible in the NFL to be able to get, like, when you're out 5 of your top 8 offensive linemen. Good luck. Like, good luck being able to try and figure out how to shuffle in-game the positions between center, guard, tackle, and being able to get some type of cohesive unit, even when it's against a bad pass rush. I thought that was really the difference in the second half here. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, our boy there, Bill, has a day. He goes 14 for 111 and 2 touchdowns, adds 40 yards receiving as well. Daniels looked fine. Didn't think he looked great.
Yeah, fine.
Thought the knee
it wasn't his mode. You were right about the brace. He lacked a little bit of the quickness.
Yeah, there's not as much punch on the ground, and you could tell that he didn't necessarily want to take off all that often. Does end up scrambling 8 times for 39 yards. So not a terrible day on the ground, but not one that we would expect against this Chargers defense that generally struggles. I got to give credit to guys like Luke McCaffrey, guys like Jalen Lane, who both step up with a bunch of wide receiver injuries. Debo Samuels goes 8 for 96 as well. So pretty efficient day here for the Commanders, who didn't have to do much once the Chargers offensive line got banged up.
Weren't good on third down, still won the game, turned the ball over a couple times. Washington, that's a professional business trip out west. Come back, and they will have Chicago Bears on the second. A good game. Chicago at Washington. My first blush would be, I'm curious to see what the opener was on the total. I think there's going to be a lot of points here with Chicago in Washington. Washington is laying 4.5, 5.
Yeah, this was 5.5 in the early, the look ahead. So we've actually seen some Chicago money off the buy come in here. Total look ahead was 49.5. We're up to 50.5. So the market agrees with you. Lean toward the over in this situation. I don't have anything I like in this one right now. I do think you're going to see a better version of Daniels back next week, but I want to see if Terry McLaurin over there is going to be back in the game for the Commanders before I really jump on one side or another. I will say this. The Bears can't stop the run. If Kroski-Merritt is your lead back, and I think today very much proved that the plan is for him to be the lead back. He got 14 of the 28 carries. 8 of those were with Daniels, so he actually got 14 of the 20 carries by running backs, and this was in a blowout. I think that you take his rushing props over against this Bears team.
Yep, Totally agree. The Chargers, Miami, will have to wait for injuries with the Chargers, obviously. And that brings us to our Monday night game here on Sharp Money. Kansas City at Jacksonville. Now, we were looking at a few threes, but those are gone. It is a blanket of 3.5s and 45.5 on the total.
Yeah, I like Kansas City in this spot. I looked through this Jacksonville's team schedule, and everyone is loving on their defense. Look, man, they have played nobody. It was Carolina week one. It was the Bengals with no Burrow week two. It was the Texans week three. It was the banged up 49ers in week four. Now you get the Chiefs team, which is coming in here that looking like a different football team. I think this is a great spot to get on the Chiefs side. It's a very interesting game because you don't really know what version of the Chiefs you're getting because we've really seen their offense click just in 1 week, week four, when Worthy was back. But I tend to believe that is more of what we're going to see from Kansas City than what we saw the previous 3 weeks. So I like the Chiefs laying the 3.5, and I do like one rushing prop in here as well. Xavier Worthy is going to get at least one carry. His rushing prop total sitting at 3.5 or 4.5, depending on where you look. I'll go over Xavier Worthy 4.5 rush yards in this game. If you can find over a half carry, I love that as well.
Yeah, if I had to play a side, I'd be with Samo on the Chiefs. I do have a prop, and that is my assumption is Lawrence is going to have to throw the ball 35 to 40 times. His passing yardage total is 212.5. I'm going to go over with Trevor Lawrence, 212.5. I think Jacksonville, because we like Kansas City, will be playing catch up. Again, if he throws the ball 35, 37 times, he's going to clear that 212.5. I like Lawrence going over. Just quickly want to let you know, Samo, we've got Opta AI as part of our VSiN Pro membership now, which is a model that is killing it with NFL props. That includes tonight on Monday Night Football. You can go to VSiN.com/subscribe. And you can sign up for just $9.99, which is 50% off the annual plan. Go to vsin.com/subscribe today. Okay, and we'll be back on Thursday. Again, themes coming into this as we say goodbye. The road teams, Survivor Carnage. What else?
Well, I actually want to get your take on your Tigers here.
I don't want to talk about it.
A nice extra inning win in game one. Go down 3-2 today. How are you feeling?
Stealing with the rookie game one, which was a thrilling game on Saturday night, was incredible. Skubal was tremendous, gave up the two bombs, but was good enough. We tie it up at twos, and then the big dumper and Julio end up taking the lead. It kills a Skubal start. However, we are going to get one more potentially out of him in game five if it's forced, and I feel good about that. Take the split, leave in Seattle, feel good about it. I just feel a little crestfallen because as soon as we picked up the first one, which is a steal, you want to win the Skubal start in game two.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this before the series. You want to go 2-0 with Skubal starts, and then you just got to go 2-5 in the other games,
yep,
right? And when you're able to steal game one, it's like, okay, now we're up 3-0 in this series. Well, all of a sudden, it's 2-1 if you can win game five or game six whenever Skubal pitches again. So a bummer you lost this one, but like still happy with the split heading home.
Let's take a look at the number. Mariners are -130. The Tigers are +110. I actually don't hate the Tigers in the series now. It was +165 before this series started on the Mariners, yet still favored.
Yeah, I don't mind the Tigers either. I do think that this is a much more even series than people are projecting. I think the Tigers should actually be the slight favorite now that they have home field advantage. I've also just given up. We talked about this on Friday. I bet the Dodgers to win the World Series. They're down to +210. I still think you bet the Dodgers. Like with the Yankees down 0-2, which were probably the biggest threat to the Dodgers, if everything went well, it feels like the Dodgers who won.
Debilitating loss for the Phillies in game one. Debilitating.
They had it.
Backbreaker.
They had it and they blew it. And you blew the Sanchez start. This is a Dodgers lineup that can hit. Dodgers +210 to win the World Series. Like it quite a bit.
Sharp Money, like, subscribe. Appreciate everybody spreading the word about the pod Sunday nights into Monday morning. Then, of course, we're going to be back on Thursday. Samo, enjoy the football. We'll see you Thursday.
Sounds good, my man.